of Sports, episode 108. Chris Brooks, wingtcoach.com. This week on the Tech of Sports, proud to welcome Chris Brooks. Modern Life Podcast Network is a great way to receive your content for your smart devices, an app for both iOS and Android. Don't forget, you can also listen on Stitcher Radio and tune in to all your favorite Modern Life Podcast Network shows. And the Tech of Sports is a production of Modern Life Podcast Network at modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. Like to welcome everyone tonight back to another episode of the Tech of Sports. And we're going to talk about some youth sports tonight and just a really interesting niche. And there's a definite tech angle to it. So just really excited to have Chris Brooks on. And I think a lot of people are going to be fascinated by his niche, what he's doing, his ingenuity. And we're going to have some fun with it. We're going to talk about the wing T offense. Now, if you're not a football coach or a football aficionado, it's just basically a fancy name for an offense. And a little of the history of it, you can look up Delaware wing T, David M. Nelson or Tubby Raymond. They were the people that really made the offense popular with high schools and small colleges. And it's kind of a hybrid offense for people that know football. And Chris Brooks is, he uses the word evangelist, or you can use advocate. I'm really an expert on this offense. He's got 9 years of experience coaching youth football, which this offense is perfectly suited for. He's coached different levels, 5 years coaching eighth grade football, which would be ages 12 to 14. And his teams play in the Tool. I will ask Chris how to pronounce that, but Tualatin Valley Youth Football League. He's made the playoffs 7 times. He's been in championship games. He's just really an expert on this offense, and I'm sure he's a really great football coach to have your kids play for. So, Chris, how much did I butcher that up? And great to have you on.
That was pretty good, Rick. You pronounced Tualatin about the same way that Siri does.
Yeah, Siri is no bargain. Let's just put it that way. There's other voice recognition things better than Siri. But great to have you on, and we're going to talk a little about you and the offense and kind of how you're using technology as an evangelist for this offense and maybe trying to help other youth football coaches. This is going to be interesting, and we're going to have a different audience for this show than I think we do for a lot of the other shows, where we really talk about one, you know, specific tech thing, or we're talking about phones or, you know, or sports in general. So did you play football growing up?
Yeah, I played a little bit, Rick, but I was done by the time I got to high school. That was partly because I moved around every year during high school, and it was often during the fall time frame. But, you know, even in high school, I was coaching flag football for younger kids, and I was always the guy out there, you know, drawing up the plays in the dirt. So I've had a passion for kind of how you run an offense and kind of the strategy of football for my whole life.
And you look good carrying a clipboard, probably. That's the requirement, isn't it?
Yeah, a clipboard with a hat on and maybe a whistle around my neck. That doesn't hurt.
Have you got to the point where you got the headphones on with the little microphone? Have you had anyone up in a booth you've ever conversed with?
You know, it's it hasn't hit yet, but I'm now helping out at the high school level. You start to see that, and yeah, most youth football leagues have pretty strict rules against having a eye in the sky or somebody up in the box or any kind of radio communication. So we've avoided that.
Right. I mean, youth football, it is competitive. People do take it seriously. The kids they work hard, but it is supposed to be fun. And, you know, it really lets people know if they want to continue on with football as they get older. So I'm a big youth sports advocate. And although I didn't play football past the flag football days, you know, I've spent a lot of time with football coaches and teams and, you know, even NFL combine and NFL training camps, college training camps. So I love picking the brains of football coaches. They are and you know, and quarterbacks and people that are in coordinator positions. They are very smart when it comes to the little things and the details in football. So I appreciate what you do and what you're doing for kids. I think you probably have a more important job than coaches at a lot of other levels, because you're taking these kids and really teaching them the sport.
The goal we always have is to, you know, teach a love of the game and get the kids to come back and play the next season. That's our ultimate goal. I mean, you keep scoring the game, and we try to prepare the team as best we can, but we really measure ourselves by how many of the kids, you know, have a great experience and decide to come back and play that next year.
Yeah, and I'm sure you say if football's not for you, you probably encourage them to try another sport maybe that would would suit them better. I'm sure you, there's no hard feelings if it's, you know, football's not for that particular child.
Yeah, and that's it's an interesting point, because football, it isn't for everybody, but football is, I think, you know, interestingly enough, one of the sports that you can play through high school, even if you're not a very good athlete. And there's ways to find roles for different kinds of players. And even with the success that our high school programs had here in Sherwood, Oregon, we never cut players. So we keep everybody on the team that wants to play, and we hope to continue that, even with pretty big numbers. So it's kind of a fellowship and a way to be part of something bigger than yourself, even if maybe you're not the kind of athlete that can go onto a basketball floor or throw a javelin or pitch a baseball. Football is often a place where kids can find, you know, some way to contribute, even if they're not very athletic.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of life lessons can be learned in football as well. And we're with Chris Brooks, a youth football coach who's really taken his knowledge to another level and using technology in different ways, maybe that you may not have thought of in sports, maybe that your kids participate in or sports you've been involved in. So, Chris, you're specifically involved in an evangelist and an expert on what's called the wing T offense. I gave a little bit of a description of it. I know a little bit about it. And I guess really the origin of the wing T really is the Delaware wing T. I don't know how much you know about the history of it.
Yeah, it's that you did actually a really good recap. It's, you know, some would consider it a fairly old school offense. You wouldn't see an NFL team running the wing T, but then again, you don't see NFL teams running any kind of single system based offense. They tend to be much more diverse and multiple in how they approach things. But the wing T it goes back to the 40s and 50s and has a deeper heritage even into the single wing and some of the early series based football movements. And I can talk to you about the idea of, I don't know how much you want to get into the wing T itself, but there's a real element of the wing T, which is that it's based on a group of series that are package plays that kind of come together that are really the cornerstone of the offense.
Yeah, I mean, we can get into that in a second, but what's more fascinating probably from our point of view here at the show is kind of how you're going about selling this offense or teaching people about it. You're using the internet, you're using social media, and you evidently think that this offense is a great offense for young kids to learn the sport and to run.
Yeah, it's there's many reasons why I think that's true, and I've definitely been a proponent of it since I kind of bought the religion maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I was kind of born into it in our community here because it's something that we've run here for 20 to 30 years here in Sherwood. So if you end up coaching in the youth program and having your kids playing it, it's going to be all wing T. And it took me a while to get it. But I just, you know, football coaches are kind of a community of more often than not people that are very willing to share and collaborate with each other, even with your close neighbors sometimes. I think we always try to keep something, you know, something hidden or private, but by and large, boy, we talk and share, and we love getting up on the whiteboard. And if you think about the internet and how that's changed how we can communicate, it's really just an extension of that same mentality of coaches. And, you know, let's find ways to share things even more broadly with people all over the world.
So Nick Saban's inviting Gus Malzahn over to Starbucks for coffee tomorrow. Is that what you're saying?
It's funny that you mentioned Malzahn specifically, because he actually is somebody that is very open and to the point of he's pretty much willing to share his playbooks and how he approaches. There's things that he definitely wants to keep to himself, like how they approach, you know, their signaling and formation shifts and a lot of their hurry up concepts. But, you know, I'm a big Malzahn fan for that reason, but also because he runs what's really a hybrid wing T is his main offense.
Would you say for people that maybe that aren't familiar with the wing T, Malzahn's got a history of it, especially when he was coaching at other levels of football, he was running more of what we would know as a true wing T. But would you say maybe Chip Kelly maybe runs a slight hybrid version of it at sometimes? Oregon and now with the Eagles?
Yeah, that, you know, the Chip Kelly and kind of the Oregon heritage there is There's elements of wing T you can see pretty much in any offense. I would say that's probably more influenced by some classic option-based football. And so if you think about a spread passing game where your run game is primarily going to be an option-based approach, that's really what Oregon has done. And they run a very simple running game in Oregon. I would say that the running game that I run with my eighth graders for the last 5 years is probably more complex in terms of blocking schemes than what Oregon or Philadelphia does. It doesn't mean that we're better at it or we're going to be more successful, but we tend to try to overwhelm defenses with counters and different approaches to blocking schemes that usually don't involve optioning, which is what you see with you know, Oregon and Chip Kelly.
Yeah, I don't want to spend the whole show talking about the offense per se. I think if people want to learn about it, there's plenty of information on the internet and books about it where they can investigate that. But wrapping up about the offense, the nuts and bolts of the offense, Chris, what would you say is the number one advantage of team running the wing T for an eighth, seventh, eighth grade middle school team?
The wing T is a great offense to run if you don't have kind of a featured single running back or a great quarterback, but instead you have a group of kids that are willing to work together and find success through, you know, what's really an intricate deception-based offense, where you're spreading the ball around to multiple players as opposed to featuring, say, a single tailback or a great quarterback with an arm.
Yeah, very, very, very well put, I think. And invite people to get in contact with you, look at your website, and also do their own research if they want to learn more about the wing T. But you've taken it to another level. You believe in this offense and believe in the mechanics of it so much. You've created a pretty a community, I would say, over time. But did you start out with the website? Is that, and what kind of gave you that idea to start the website wingtee-coach.com about the offense?
I've been writing about coaching youth football for about 6 years, but not too aggressively. I would write during season and maybe do about 5 or 6 posts a year. And I think it was really going into last year when I thought, well, I've got a lot of good materials here. I've got the opportunity professionally to put some more time into making this more of a focused effort. So I launched the site last year and launched a book earlier this year. And I just plan to keep engaged with my audience through this until I get tired of it or people don't want to listen to me anymore. But it's been an ongoing process. But really, the last 6 to 9 months, I've been a lot more focused on more regular publishing.
What kind of feedback do you get? I'm sure you hear from other youth football coaches, and you know, some of these guys are, you know, maybe not the footballer expert you are, so they're kind of leaning on this a little bit for maybe they got drafted to recruit or drafted to coach their sons in youth football, and they're trying to get up to speed on some of this. Is that who you mainly hear from? Are other coaches or people that find themselves in the position maybe you were in years ago?
Yeah, mostly other coaches, and it is, what's one surprise has been that it's been a mix of youth coaches and high school coaches. If you're in the wing T community, there are a few high schools that I think have a tradition of excellence with the wing T, and Sherwood in the Northwest is one of two or three schools that has that tradition. So a lot of high school coaches know about Sherwood and the wing T, and so when I started writing more and publishing more and knowing that it's kind of associated with the Sherwood program, it drew some high school coaches that were interested in learning kind of what our system is and how we approach it. Most of the youth coaches that I've been engaged with, it's, you know, the thing that I hear is that it's there's been so much history with this that very often people that write about it don't break it down into really simple terms with easy descriptions on how to, you know, run drills and install the offense and kind of how to approach it for different age levels. And that's what I tried to achieve. And including a lot of video with the materials, I think, helped a lot, too.
Absolutely. We're with Chris Brooks, who's a football coach, but a football coach who's using technology and the internet in many ways to not only help other football coaches, but ultimately help youth football players succeed and learn the sport. So definitely should be commended for that. Now, your website, you're offering, you have information on the website, but you're offering play cards, kind of like maybe flashcards with different plays, utilizing the Wing T, and then also your book, also the PDF version of the Wing T for youth football available on your website, correct?
That's correct. And I also released an iBook version for those that are in kind of the Apple ecosystem, and it allows you to have an integrated playbook with all the video kind of downloaded right onto your device, which can be handy if you're traveling or you want to take something onto the field to show the players.
So you made the conscious decision to just have the PDF version and sell the flashcards online, and then in iBooks, no Kindle store or other format?
Yeah, Kindle could make sense for me. I think I wanted to, as much as I could, own kind of the e-commerce side of it myself. I'm not ruling out Kindle in the future. The big challenge I have, say, with the iBook store is that you've got Apple sitting between you and your customer, and it's difficult for me to even get contact information for those people. They have to reach out to me to let me know. And it's not because I want to sell them more. It's because I want to make sure they get on my newsletter and that we can kind of keep the dialogue going and, you know, get them involved in the Twitter chats that we're doing and things like that. So the more I can kind of keep that under my own umbrella, I think the better it's going to be for the coaches.
Yeah, I think you're smart on that, because you have such a niche that if they really need you, there someone's going to refer them to you, or they're going to find you in some way. And another thing you're doing that is very cool, I think is it a weekly Twitter chat, a Wing T Twitter chat that you're running? Is it weekly?
Yeah, it's weekly. And we a high school coach in Ohio, somebody that I met down at a national Wing T clinic in Pittsburgh earlier this year. He and I have just stayed in touch, and we decided to jointly do a weekly Wing T chat. And it's been, we're about a month into it, and it's been a great experience. Just great conversation. And it's, Twitter is an interesting vehicle for that. It can be a little bit scattered at times, but for an hour, we're finding we can cover about five questions and just get a really good dialogue going.
And for people interested in that, it would be hashtag Wing T Chat, all one word, WingTchat. I invite people to step into that. And you guys, I think, do a pretty good job with that. It's not intimidating. It's a little maybe inside the industry, some of the things, but I think it's also another good free tool where people can maybe learn something and kind of see what you're doing.
Yeah, it's definitely not a way to jump in and say, I want to learn the Wing T, although we do rotate topics. So I think one topic we'll have is before long is, what do you wish you'd known when you first started running this offense that could provide some good pointers to new coaches?
Yeah, I think that's a great thing. Any maybe expansion to other social media, maybe, an Instagram where you would have, pictures of Wing T formations or plays, taking place, that wouldn't be video, but
right.
Have you thought about other social media as well?
Yeah, I think about it all the time. I think anybody that's involved in, kind of electronic commerce and marketing, you always feel like you're probably missing out by not being everywhere in every social media channel. I've been focusing mostly on Twitter, Facebook, and a little bit of Google Plus. I'm experimenting with Pinterest a little bit because you're starting to see some coaches hanging out there, which I think it's been
What would you be doing on Pinterest? Are there are you developing curtains maybe that have Wing T plays on it, or a tablecloth maybe with Wing T formations on it? I thought about asking you about Pinterest, and I thought I don't know how he would relate to that, but what kind of can you do with Pinterest?
You kind of highlighted my initial bias going in against Pinterest for sure. I do photography work as well, so I do some travel and sports photography, so I've been hanging out there for a while. I think it's growing in its audience, and you're seeing my audience is clearly, men in the ages of, 25 to 50 or so. There's not a lot of women involved in football coaching.
And it's the same demographic that would be at a Rush concert.
Yeah, I don't know if 25.
Yeah, it might be a little young.
That might be a little bit young, but yeah, you've kind of nailed it there. So
I say that because there was a Rush concert here in Atlanta last night. A few of my friends were there, and I was asking them what the demographic at the show was, and they said 35 to 45 year old male was pretty much the whole crowd.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So yeah, my point isn't necessarily that I'm diving into Pinterest. It's that when you look at some of these other channels like Instagram and Pinterest, I want to make sure that if I'm going to go there, I'm going to be ready to fully engage and support. And I'm, you know, I don't have any assistants. I don't have a virtual assistant. I'm doing this all myself right now. So I want to make sure I'm able to be engaged and focus where I am, but I'm not ruling anything out going forward.
No, I think you're smart on that. And, you know, as things evolve, you probably discover new avenues and new ways to get your word out. I guess I'm curious, putting football aside, have you heard from, you know, other people maybe that discovered your site that have a real narrow niche or a real specific product or something they are an expert on or trying to promote, and they've maybe picked your brain a little bit on how you've taken kind of a football offense from the early days of football that's not used very much, and you're kind of, you know, you're not becoming a millionaire by this, but you've developed a little community.
Yeah, I think when you walk through kind of the business model and the idea and what's involved, all sorts of things come out of the woodwork. And it's actually more been with casual conversations with friends and associates than, you know, people kind of coming out of the woodwork. I know I was sitting down with my accountant earlier this year, and he was telling me that his father-in-law is this like world-class barbershop quartet singer, and he's been doing it for 60 years or something, and had this idea of having a niche site with just, you know, the history and music for barbershop quartets. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of like what I'm doing, totally different, but the same kind of niche. I think we all have something that we're interested in, that we have a passion for, that puts us in kind of that nerd or geek category where you might, if you want to really go all in and become an expert and a proponent, I think there's opportunities for that. And for me, it's just fun. Whether or not the business does great, I'm having so much fun just collaborating with these other coaches. And I've been running free webinars every month, and just the people that I meet there and the new contacts, it's been amazing.
It definitely shows in kind of what you're doing. And last thing before I let you, promote your stuff here for a little bit. Are there other websites? I didn't research this at all, but is there like a site like yours dedicated to the Wishbone or the Red Gun? Or are you pretty unique in what you're doing?
I think if you let your fingers do the Googling, you'll find that there are quite a few sites out there. I think there's the vast majority of the football offense oriented sites that are out there, I would say, are still a little bit old school in internet terms, and many of them are successful, usually successful, sometimes not successful, but usually successful high school or college coaches that, you know, have run a certain offense, and they have a set of DVDs and maybe a book that you can buy and get mailed to your door.
There's still hope for Jerry Glanville and June Jones then to start a Red Gun site, huh?
There's still hope. So you're going to see more of that. I think there's a guy out there who's kind of been a bit of a mentor of mine, in a lot of ways, Joe Daniel, who's been, I think, one of the leaders in this, you know, internet marketing and electronic distribution, you know, whether it's videos or online courses or electronic books. And that's, he's much more broad. He covers pretty much everything, offense and defense, with a few specialties, but it's broad, but it's, he's been pretty successful with that. And I've been a follower of his for about 4 or 5 years.
That's very cool. Very cool. And, like I said, your passion comes through in the site and the chat and everything that I've, checked out on you. So if people are interested, if there's some youth football coaches out there that are interested, here's your chance. Plug your website and your chat, whatever, your book, whatever you want to plug.
Yeah, I'd say go on over to my site. That's wingt-coach.com. And maybe the best way to get a taste of what I'm offering is to download the free. There's a free smaller version of my playbook that you can get delivered right to your inbox. if you just give me your email address, and it's actually quite a bit of material right there. And if that appeals to you, then you know, you might be interested in the other products. The other thing I would suggest is there, also at my site, you can sign up for my newsletter. And it's pretty low key. I send a pretty, you know, it's not a salesy at all email once a week where I talk about some topic related to usually the Wing T. But I had a long email about concussions and head injuries and kind of the impact that that's having on our sport, and pointed to a few other references. So I kind of go off into the wild a little bit with general football topic. So that's a great way to just kind of stay in touch and get notified when I'm going to be doing my free web clinics.
We're wrapping up here with Chris Brooks, who is an advocate of the Wing T football offense, a youth football coach, and a real fascinating little niche he's grown and a community he's developed over the years. And Chris, who's maybe somebody that's contacted you, maybe the most famous person or someone you were surprised, maybe that dropped you an email or that has given you some kind words for what you're doing? Anything surprise you that's run across your site or what you're doing?
Yeah, I had, you know, you do this work, and I'm sure you guys feel this way too sometimes, where you're not always sure somebody's out there listening or paying attention or who you're really reaching, especially when you first start on a venture like this. And I got an email about a month and a half ago from a guy that's considered just one of the kind of godfathers of the Wing T. And he's someone that I go see speak at clinics. And he just sent me this email. I saw your site. Looks like you're doing great things. Keep up the good work. And you know, little messages like that make it all worthwhile when somebody that's kind of a notable influencer can go check things out and see that you're adding value.
Probably have people stumbling across your site all the time that would probably surprise you, and I think that that kind of makes it all worthwhile for you. But ultimately, it's about the kids, and I'm glad I had you on this week, Chris, because I'm supposed to speak at an elite football camp this coming weekend for middle schoolers here in the South. It's kind of a combine, and I don't think I'm speaking to the kids. They're having a parents seminar at the first half of the camp as well. When the kids are off warming up and doing their thing, the parents are going to be gathered in a tent, and they're actually bringing me in. It's a couple former NFLers that are putting on this camp here in Atlanta, and they approached me about coming in and speaking to the parents about a couple important topics. One would be if their kid starts getting recruited or starts doing well, you know, what's the best way for them to deal with the media. As a member of the media, they thought I can, and I've done these canned speeches before, but never to like parents of kids. So kind of what to expect, and maybe, you know, how to do a little homegrown media training with your kids. Then also the importance of, as these kids are getting to the age where they're going to start using social media, how to approach that. So especially if they're going to be going through the college recruiting process and just in life in general, I think it's good for them to be exposed to what to do and what not to do. So I'm on Saturday for about 45 minutes or so, I'll be on a little panel and talking about that. I think that's a pretty good thing that this camp's offering.
I think that's great. And I think it's so important that parents hear an objective message, you know, with a dose of reality about what the process is like and kind of what the odds are like. And even with elite, you know, youth and middle school players, it's a pretty narrow funnel that these kids go through into high school and then into college and certainly into the NFL. And, you know, I look back here in Sherwood and the majority of our best athletes that have moved on, that went to play college, you know, have lasted maybe 1 year, whether it's injuries or other issues that come up. And, you know, you tend to just only hear the success stories when you pay attention to college football. But, you know, most of these kids that go into high school football, that's going to be the last football they play. And by far the majority of the kids that go into play college, that's going to be the last football they play.
And I'm in the South here in Atlanta. This is, you know, college football is king here. So this is very important for these kids to realize what they may, with a microscope they're going to be under and what they may be going through as they grow and get into high school. It's I'm not saying it's not big there on the West Coast or in the Midwest, but in the South here, it's an eye opener for a lot of people.
No, it's different. I mean, it's some of it's just population density that you have, but it's also, it's a very different culture. I've lived in 12 states, and so I have a pretty good understanding of kind of the impact that football has in different areas in the country. And you know, Oregon is certainly a big football state, but I think in different ways than you see in the South.
Great. You've lived in other parts of the countries, and I'm sure you use that knowledge in what you're doing, Chris. And thanks for coming on, Chris. And I have one last question I always ask my guests as we wrap up here on the Tech of Sports. What's the maybe the one gadget or piece of tech that you can't live without, either in your personal life or, you know, running this little side business? What's the one thing you can't live without?
I'd say the one thing that gets the most use that would be the biggest hindrance if I lost it would be my iPhone 6. And it's beyond even just communication, the quality of the photography and the video capture I can do with this device. And I think if you had a, you know, a Samsung Galaxy or, you know, a different kind of phone, it would be the same answer. But we use this to film clinics. We use it to do ad hoc videos. And, you know, we used to lug around a camera and have to go through all the processing to get things off. And it just makes it so easy to go from, you know, capture to publish. So that's probably the one thing that I would be hard pressed to do without.
And who do you think's the cream of the crop in NFL coaching circles right now, Chris, from what you do? Who do you think's overachieving as an NFL coach?
Oh boy. That's a tough one. I'm very biased towards a few teams, and I don't necessarily think they have the best coaching.
So throw your bias out the window. You know, who do you think's doing a great job?
I have to go with my arch enemy and the most hated coach that I have, but I think he's still the best, and that's Belichick. I think he is, you know, he is a genius, and his approach to the game and the trust that he puts in key players. And I hate when my teams have to play his teams because they're just so well coached.
Yep. And he's got some good players as well. So the mesh of a great coach with the right players is that's equal Super Bowl champion usually. Chris, thanks for coming on. Great stuff. Appreciate it.
Great talking to you, Rick, and hope this was helpful for your audience.
Yeah, great. And you know, a little side thanks to Scott Ladwig, a mutual friend of ours, for you know, taking some time away from his love of Disney and taking cruises to make this connection.
Yeah, thanks,
you're laughing, huh?
No, we all have our nerdly niches, and yeah, and he's got his in spades, just like I do.
So just like the Wing T. So wingt-coach.com. Want everyone to check that out. And Chris, thanks for coming on. And invite everyone to check out the Modern Life Podcast Network at modernlifepodcast.com for all the other shows available. Actually, a new show has been added to the network. You go on there and check out that show about podcasting. I think that's a great addition to the network. So modernlifepodcastnetwork.com, and also Two Thumbs Up Media, which is the internet podcast directory set up by the people here at Modern Life Podcast Network. Go to twothumbsupmedia.com. Thanks, everyone. You've been listening to The Tech of Sports, a Modern Life Podcast Network production.